Welcome to today's podcast, Hella Malversations. Keeping it real. Welcome to Hella Malversations, keeping it real with San Francisco Bay Area moms, or SF Bam. My name is Olga Rosales Salinas. I am your host. I'm the managing editor for SF Bam, and I'm here to welcome you to this year's first Hella Malversations. Today's episode, we're featuring Debbie Tabak from Latitude, providing food allergy care. And also excited to be sharing the mic with my co-host, Michelle Wing from It's Yoga Kids. We're gonna take a very quick break. And when we come back, we'll be joined talking about food allergies and how to support kids and families. If you wanna learn what this episode is gonna be about and you wanna deep dive because you know that you're interested in this topic, please go to latitudefoodallergycare.com. That's latitudefoodallergycare.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Hella Malversations, San Francisco Bay Area moms, keeping it real with SF Bam. I'm so excited to be here with you as a community member, a loyal listener since we started Hella Malversations a few years ago. We haven't had episodes in a while, so it feels very special. I feel very honored to have your time and attention today and that you're joining us for the very first Hella Malversations of 2025. I'm joined today by Debbie Tabak from Latitude, providing food allergy care for you and yours, and also with my co-host, Michelle Wing from It's Yoga Kids. And I wanna just start by opening with Michelle Wing because I just wanna acknowledge that it's been a while since I've seen your face on camera here at Hella Malversations. So say hello to the community and any hopes for 2025. Let's start with that.
I love that. I am happy to be here. It's great to see both of you. I love these conversations. And honestly, I think the beginnings of spring are the exact right time to have these conversations bloom again. And especially when we're talking about, you know, food. And so this is a great topic and I'm looking forward to digging into it with you.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you for being here. And welcome, please, Debbie, to Hella Malversations. Just as a big round of applause, maybe we can add an applause reel in the back of that post this episode. So thank you for being with us, Debbie. Please tell us how you got to this time and space, why you're joining us on Hella Malversations today, and give us a little bit of background as well.
Great. Thank you so much. I am really grateful to be here. I'm a Bay Area mom myself. I'm a co-founder at Latitude Food Allergy Care. I am first and foremost a parent of three young adults who have had food allergies, really from the very beginning when they were babies. And my personal journey led me to co-found Latitude about 8 years ago. We actually opened doors 7 years ago in Redwood City. And we have just really high level, I'll tell you, we have four clinics in the Bay Area, East Bay, Marin County, San Francisco, Peninsula. We're working on that fifth location in the South Bay. And we have three in New York City, and we're opening in Los Angeles this summer. So we endeavored to create a food allergy focused clinics, and 7 years later, we have seven clinics.
Congratulations, first and foremost, that's a really, really big deal. And you, the trajectory you just explained seems like expansion has been a goal and you're there. So congratulations. You have a close connection to San Francisco Bay Area moms because you're good friends with our mommy in chief, Pauline. Can you tell us a little bit about that connection?
Yeah, so Pauline has been very publicly shared her son Brayden's experiences along the way out of the country in the Bay Area, really navigating care for her own child. Brayden is a little younger than my own children. And I think, you know, my children are sort of in between your children, Olga, and Michelle, your children. I have boys that are 15 years old and they're twins. And I have a daughter who's almost 19. So now I call them young adults. And, Similar Pauline's experiences, probably many of your listeners' experiences with children of, of the ages of my own children, we were left with a lot of unanswered, confusing answers, a lot of questions when it came to diagnosing our children's food allergies, treatment options, or whether treatment was even available. And so much has changed in a decade. So when families like Pauline's with Brayden, who's a little bit younger than my own kids, were able to really offer very different options, very different alternative paths to treatment and to testing, to treatment, to overall care than what my own children encountered. And Latitude really was born of, the frustrations of my own frustrations. The other co-founders were all food allergy families, and we really saw gaps in care, and the whole field of food allergy was shifting so much in the last decades. So, so now we're able to offer families like Pauline's, really a much clearer path.
You say you're co-founders. How many of you have started this?
So there are three of us that actually met in the Stanford Research Program. Our own children were clinical trial participants, what is now known as the Sean N. Parker Center for Allergy and Asthma Research at Stanford was really just a nascent clinical trial, with a doctor, Dr. Kari Nadeau, really led that research at Stanford. Our own children were clinical trial participants, and we became professionally involved with to build that program. And at some point, several years into that program, we really felt that what the kind of care and the testing, the treatment, all of the whole process that we were able to provide in a very rigid clinical trial setting really was ready for prime time, was ready to be more accessible in actual clinics. So the clinics that we have open are now led by board certified allergists. We take insurance. We're actually a member of UCSF in the Bay Area. So we're able to take most major insurance for the care that we provide. Patients can just call up and book an appointment, or their pediatricians or other allergists can refer them to care at Latitude.
This is great, and I love hearing how family focused it is. But this, I mean, and it, as much as you've expanded, this started because it was a real personal need for you. Can you tell us about that experience for you? How early did you know that you were going to be an allergy family? What was that like?
Well, my husband and I, we joke that we won the lottery with our kids. All three of them had food allergies. At the time that my daughter was a baby, I already had a nephew with a diagnosed peanut allergy. And so I was having conversations with my own allergist about what to feed her, what not to feed her. I mean, 18 years ago, let me tell you, the advice was very, very confusing. Don't give her this, don't give her that. But ultimately, by the time she was 17 months, she was diagnosed with five food allergies. She was allergic to dairy, sesame, soy, almond, and you're not going to believe it, but she was allergic to oat. She was actually sensitized to the oat in her Aveeno lotion that I was covering her head to toe with that lotion
Oh my
when she had
God.
just really, really bad eczema from the moment she was born. And it was, I mean, now we know, and I understand the science now, but covering her with that food-based lotion was actually, it was actually making her sensitive to the actual food because it was going through this dysfunctional skin barrier. So ultimately, when she was around 3 years old, most of those allergens dropped off, and that does happen. That kids can naturally outgrow some of the allergies. Some allergens are less likely to be outgrown. Cashew is one that is like really, really unlikely to be outgrown. Milk, egg, wheat, a lot of those often are really outgrown over those toddler years in a natural way. For my daughter, what stuck was sesame, and then came along her twin brothers were born, and the advice also was confusing, but mostly my takeaway was give them everything. Give them all the food and then just kind of see what happens. And they ended up, they're fraternal twins, but by the time they were a year old, they had identical food allergies to peanut and egg. And we found out in a rather dramatic way when they both simultaneously reacted to their birthday cake. So that was really, and here I was already a food allergy parent, and it was just, it was like a punch in the gut, honestly, to all of a sudden be like, wait, now I have three kids with food allergies. I had a very progressive allergist at the time who, as we were navigating for all three different kids, he actually wrote on a little slip of paper to me. He said, go check out and see what this woman, Dr. Kari Nadeau, was doing at Stanford. And I probably honestly have that little piece of paper somewhere around. And I hope he's listening. He's in the Bay Area. So I give him so much credit because I was able to then reach out and understand and be part of. Really, what is now so easily accessible was not accessible 15 years ago. Absolutely not accessible 15 years ago. And like I said, it was a really confusing time to be a food allergy parent. Now it should not be as confusing.
I love
And
that.
people should feel more hope. They should feel empowerment. There are options out there at every stage of food allergies.
Can you give us one more time where your facilities are located? Just so that we have that several times in this podcast so people know.
Yeah, no, I know this is super relevant to this audience. So we're in San Ramon, right off of 680 on Crow Canyon. We are in San Francisco. We're on Van Ness and I'm really easily accessible. There's actually a lot of parking near us, which is fantastic. We are in Marin in San Rafael, also right off the freeway, and we're in Redwood City, again, right off of 101. So really easily accessible. We are also working on a fifth location in the South Bay that we hope will open this year.
Great. And the website is latitudefoodallergycare.com. That's latitudefoodallergycare.com. If you're driving right now and listen to this podcast, do not punch it in. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll hear from Michelle Wing and we'll just ask more questions so that you, as a listener, have all the information you need, either to prepare, to be more informed about your food family or food allergy family. Or to learn about your friends' needs, possibly. So we'll be right back with Hella Conversations, keeping it real with SF Bam. Welcome back to Hella Conversations. I'm your host, Olga Rosales Salinas. I'm here with Michelle Wang, my co-host, and we are chatting today with Debbie Tabak from Latitude Food Allergy. Here in the Bay Area, and that's latitudefoodallergycare.com. Let's get right into it. Let's talk about food allergies and pathways. Can you share your experience and what you want
Yeah,
to
I'm
pursue?
really, really happy to share all the different variations of what food allergy care can look like for families. And I'll start with the disclaimer, I'm not a medical provider. I am, deeply involved professionally with our processes, with our operations, with what we do and our mission at Latitude, but I'm not a medical provider. So I always like to have that disclaimer. I think I already touched on almost everybody that is listening knows somebody that has food allergies, whether it's a child or it's an adult. Food allergies can start as a baby. 15% of adults have food allergies that are actually adult onset food allergies. Shellfish is the number one cause of adult, or the number one culprit, I would say, of adult onset food allergies. But essentially, people can be allergic to any food that has some level of a protein in it. And when we talk about babies, we talk about there are some children that are predisposed. They're going to be food allergic. But the guidelines have really changed. They've like turned on their heads literally since my kids were babies. We're now saying that there's this finite amount of time when a baby is first being introduced to foods that if you introduce the allergenic foods in a really standardized way, and you get those into their diet, and you have diversity of diet in that really, really young age, that you have potential to actually prevent food allergies. Now, it doesn't mean that if you give somebody, if you give a baby peanut, that then they're not going to become allergic to eggs. This is very specific to the actual food itself. And like I said, there are certainly a subset of of babies that are going to be predisposed to being allergic. But there is a huge public health shift in this recommendation, and pediatricians are on the front line of that. They really are encouraging what we call early introduction of these allergens. Now, what that really looks like in someone's house, if you already have a child that is food allergic, that can be really anxiety producing. It can be so anxiety producing that some families miss that window because they're really just afraid of what might happen when they introduce the foods. Food allergies are, in general, not something that only impacts the person who's food allergic. It has such a wider impact to all the caregivers, the parents on the front line, grandparents, extended families, nannies, teachers, camp counselors, the restaurants that families are going to. And but when you come down to parents of food of children with food allergies, there is an emotional burden that becomes cumulative as time goes on. So if you have a family that already has a food allergic child and they're being told by their pediatrician, give this allergen to your new baby in an effort to prevent, there can be a lot of anxiety around that and questions, confusion and questions. So we're a resource. We're that next level beyond your pediatrician when there really is a question of could this child be allergic for early introduction. So that's one thing we do provide at Latitude. And we also work with pediatricians to make sure that they're giving appropriate advice in the, on that front line. Then, of course, you have babies, you have children, you have adults who eat a food, have a reaction, and they don't know either what they reacted to or if this is a true allergy or if there might have been something else in the mix. So testing is really, really important. One of our philosophies at Latitude is we do not want people walking around with long lists of foods they're avoiding. We want people eating the foods that they are not allergic to. And then really approaching questions of proactive treatment if you know that there is an actual diagnosed food allergy. So I'll step back for a second. That may have brought up some other questions.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking about testing and early, really early introduction to food, which I like to call microdosing, but that's probably not the technical term. What is the technical term of that?
Well, actually, for the babies, the technical term is early introduction. That's how
Early,
doctors
not
talk
microdosing.
about
Thank
it.
you. Sorry.
And it's not so much prescribed actual doses. For the end goal for early introduction is that you're incorporating the foods actually in the baby's diet and they have a diversity of foods that they're eating then well into toddlerhood. And a lot of the studies really support making sure that there's that really strong diversity of diet for the first 5 years. Most of the original research that changed some of those guidelines was focused on peanut, and the long-term follow-up studies really went to about 5 years old for those. But then we have this stage of testing. And what testing looks at is blood work, skin tests. We do something called oral food challenges. That really is the gold standard of having a patient come into the clinic, eat the food. If they can safely eat it in this very monitored, way, then if we can disprove an allergy and say, you're not allergic to this, you can go home and you can eat it. Again, we want them incorporating it in their regular diet, eating regular foods. Now, when we talk about, and you bring up microdosing, and I think, Michelle, you had another word for it. What was the word you had thrown out, Michelle?
I was saying exposure therapy.
Exposure therapy. So what you are both talking about is actually called oral immunotherapy. So once we know that someone is actually truly allergic to a food or multiple foods, we have real clarity on that. We can do proactive treatment now with something called oral immunotherapy, and it's a highly supervised process of introducing the food that someone is allergic to in a very slow but stepwise manner. And at Latitude, we can treat to multiple allergens simultaneously, and we can actually do this very proactive treatment. Our patients generally get to what we call desensitization or a maintenance dose in 8.5 months is our average for our patients to go through this process. And what it is that you're slowly changing the immune system to see this food as something safe. You're telling the body in this very monitored, supervised way, but regular way, you're retraining the immune system to be able to say, okay, I can tolerate that food. Maybe I can't tolerate a peanut butter sandwich, but I can tolerate a peanut. And we talk a lot about safety. We talk about quality of life when we really are making some of those decisions for families with families.
I love
Yeah,
that.
very
Isn't that
much.
how vaccinations work as well? So that we're building the immune system actually to combat, whatever that disease is, MMR, the whole thing that,
I'm not a scientist and
all
I'm
of the
a medical
recommendations.
practitioner, but it is, I mean, you are sending the immune system a message and you're working on the very specific cells to say, don't attack the body when you recognize this particular thing coming in. Now we have all sorts of new tools in our toolbox as well. There's a medication called Xolair, which is an anti-IgE. Again, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a medical provider, so I can't go into all the great details about this. But it is something that we can use in tandem with oral immunotherapy, that process of desensitizing with the food. We also can use a biologic to make that process a little bit safer for some patients. And then on the other hand, there are some patients that can just get that biologic by itself and have some protection now. That was only approved last year by the FDA as what they call a monotherapy to just have this shot. So we offer all of these in our clinics.
And I have a question. When you were saying there's a best window for early intervention or early introduction, were you saying that's the whole period of 0 to 5, or is there a more narrow
Oh no, when they're
window? Because
babies, to start this process of early introduction, it really comes along with starting the solid foods. So when Michelle, you or I
you're
may have
talking
been,
about 6 months to,
I'm talking about 4 to 6 months. That is
that's the
the sweet spot.
window. So,
Some of the studies go from 4 to 11 months.
okay,
So
that sounds that's yeah.
we do
Sounds better,
really
right?
encourage families that even if they feel like not to be afraid that they've missed the window, but the peak window from the studies is that 4 to 6 month periods.
Wow, because a
And
lot of times some doctors are not recommending solids until 6 months.
right, mine
So,
didn't. There was 6 months
yeah, mine
out.
didn't either.
I mean,
Yeah, we were starting at 6 months.
my mom to mom recommendation, having gone through and not remembering any details of the first foods with my children other than the allergic reactions.
Well, it's hard when you have twins. I'm actually a big sister of fraternal twin brothers as well, so I completely understand the vortex of like, wait, what just happened?
Exactly. I'm also the sister of twins as
Are
well.
you really?
Lots
Oh my gosh.
of twins in the
That's
family.
wild.
But I would say, every baby is different, which is why some of those solid food introduction,
Yeah.
guidelines are
Sometimes it's by
different.
weight, sometimes it's by weight or readiness.
But if
Exactly.
we normalize that, where our generation of children were told, we were told not to give peanuts until they're 3 years old. And I can tell you just anecdotally all the things that happened to my children in those first 3 years. There is a lot going on
Oh,
in
yeah.
biologically. And so I would say, from a mom to a mom, I would say normalize these foods. Get them in when you start the first foods. Now,
Absolutely
of
agree.
course, adhere to like the choking hazards of actual nuts. We're talking about thinned out peanut butter. We're talking about maybe scrambled eggs. There's a lot, and that's where the pediatricians can really give some guidance on, on the form factor and the frequency that is recommended. So
Yeah, and the
that,
volume, right? Yeah.
it's a really big shift in what we were
Yeah.
with our
Well,
young adults.
it makes sense to me. I mean, that makes perfect sense. I think that it's very practical to want to introduce that into a young immune system. And that's what I'm doing, working with body and mind. And we start with babies right away to get, the body and the mind working together and all of the neurons firing and the nervous system working and your ability to process all of the data that's coming into this new body and brain.
Well, we need to tell the immune systems, their immune systems, that these are foods and not poison. And
Correct.
that's
Yeah.
really the difference. And that's what the research shows. And that is, I mean, that right there is really
Yeah.
revolutionary. If we can
Right.
stem the tide of the epidemic of growing
Totally.
rates of food allergy,
Totally.
then there's fewer people actually that need proactive treatment, but we also have the
Exactly.
proactive
And I
treatment.
wanted to say something about that as that crosses over into the emotional experience that you also were referring to, because fear is a major, major inhibitor and a major, major driver. And so, as we look at the emotions that we have, the fears that we have around this, and how we work with ourselves in order to introduce these foods in a way that feels safe and frankly beneficial, based on what you're saying, it's also that emotional piece that we have to help both the little people, the babies and the young toddlers and their caregivers to move through.
Also, the caregivers, we see what this looks like in adults with food allergies.
Oh,
And
yeah.
when I talk about oral immunotherapy, I do just want to say that there's not necessarily a time limit for the actual proactive treatment once we know someone is allergic, but it is so much more effective at the really young ages. We see 97% of our patients who are under 4 years old who go through the proactive treatment with oral immunotherapy reach that desensitization. For all other ages, it's 92% or even 91%. And I get asked this a lot because people who have heard about proactive treatment with oral immunotherapy, they assume it's only for children, but it actually can be done with adults. The barrier is that adults with food allergies have decades of cumulative emotional burden. And now we actually had a 68-year-old man who was treated for macadamia nut recently. And I've mentioned this to somebody else recently. Like, I really hope he's in Hawaii enjoying all the macadamia nuts. But what it must have taken, that leap of faith that it must have taken after decades of hearing that there was nothing that could be done, that All he could do was strictly avoid and make sure to carry his EpiPens, that there was no way to change his path, than to come in our doors, be treated, and have this life-changing moment of
Freedom.
he's
Yeah.
no longer
Sounds like a
has
miracle.
to strictly avoid. He can eat macadamia nuts. So, and that treatment, we do it as young as 8 months, and we have the 68-year-olds. So that
It's
is a
so
pretty
fun. I
wide
love
range
that.
of
Yeah, yeah,
opportunity is how I
yeah. You know,
describe
and it sorry, it does. It makes me
it.
think about yoga that way too, because, you know, some people get intimidated or think, I can't do this or I won't do this. And the truth is that yoga is going to meet you wherever you're at, and it's going to help you through the physical ailment, the mental blocks, and the emotional release of what it is that you need to be so that you can be free, you know? And that's really what we're talking about right here. We're talking about, you know, freedom to eat, freedom from food, you know, freedom from
Food
food,
freedom.
food freedom, feelings freedom, being, you know, free to navigate multiple feelings, you know, and know that you're going to make it through. These are really good skills to have. And you're absolutely right about the earlier you start, the better off you are. Like, just
I mean,
period.
some of these children coming in the door will never know that they were food allergic.
Yeah, and they
Will
shouldn't.
not know. Even my own children who were treated at 6 years old, now at 15, if you ask them what their life was like when, before treatment, they would say, oh, mommy was more nervous. That's what they would say. They wouldn't say how it impacted them. They don't remember leaving a birthday party when they started to get hives after the cupcakes. They don't remember leaving a party because one boy had to have an EpiPen and go to the emergency room. I mean, probably if I asked them those traumatic moments, they might remember, but that's not in general what they remember because they were so young. And so we really, I mean, for me personally, to see these really young patients coming into our clinics and having outcomes that are just so empowering and freeing, like you said, Michelle, is really life-changing.
Thank you so much for being with us, Debbie. Thank you so much for sharing your journey. Please give us those locations again in the Bay Area. And anyone that's listening, please go to latitudefoodallergycare.com. That's latitudefoodallergycare.com for more information. But please give us those locations, Debbie.
Yeah, we're Redwood City. We're in San Francisco off of Van Ness. We're in Marin in San Rafael, and we're in San Ramon, and we're working on that South Bay location.
I
So,
love this so much. And I want to do this again with you. I want Pauline to join us next time because you guys
yeah.
are, you know each other so well. You've had the same experience and that, you know, she really believes in what you're doing and you've helped her so much. You've helped Braden so much. So definitely thank you for the services you provide these families. Again, that's latitudefoodallergy.com. If you're listening right now, we will tag all of Debbie's information and Latitude's information in the context of this podcast. And you guys can come and visit back and visit, listen to it as many times as you need. We got a lot of good information today, and I'll make sure to tag some of that content in the text form as well. So thank you for being here, and thank you for joining us on at Hella Monversations with San Francisco Bay Area Moms or SFBAM. Thank you so much, Michelle Wing, for being on my co-host again today from It's Yoga Kids. Do you want to plug an event that's coming up or anything?
No,
No? Okay.
just go to the website if you're
It's
interested. There's events, there's
yogakids.com.
camps, there's classes, there's always something going on at IYK.
I love that. Thank you again. It's Hella Momversation, San Francisco Bay Area Moms. That's sanfranciscomoms.com if you're new to the podcast. But if you found us, you've probably been to our website. That's Hella Momversations. And I'm your host, Olga Rosales Salinas, and I hope to see you all again next month.